get it almost every night. And when that moon gets so big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
Hello, I'm Susan.
Hello, I'm Carol. Welcome to Kickapoo Nightlife, where we explore all things related to the natural night. We'll learn about astronomy, what plants and animals do at night, the pros and cons of different types of lighting, and the exciting new developments in lighting choices that give us light we need in natural dark nights that all life depends on for health and normal function.
We'll visit with people from around Wisconsin and other places about all this and more. Today, we're exploring the relationship between poetry and the night. Since humans have spoken words, we've made song and poetry inspired by the night, which is the home of mystery, imagination, creativity, quiet and rest, and not least, romance. Stay tuned.
The January calendar of events and phenology report. Flocks of overwintering bald eagles sweeping open waters near dams looking for fish to eat. The January thaw brings out light sleeping critters like skunks, raccoons, and possums. White snowy owls make a surprise appearance, swooping over fields seeking a tasty mouse meal. Great horned and barred owl pairs singing duets in the night air as they get ready to mate. Bear cubs born inside their wintry dens, snuggling up to their mothers for food and warmth. In marshes, game fish heading for shallow waters, looking for hibernating frogs to eat. Look through the ice to spot them. Meadow voles and mice making tunnels as warm passageway between their homes and food stashes. River otters having fun sliding in the snow down creek and river banks. Look for their tracks. Morning doves perched on branches sunning themselves, warming up in the cold winter air.
Our calendar of events for this month is: the first Wednesday of the month is our Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative monthly board of directors meeting. You can join too by going to fourdarkskies.org and asking for a link to our Zoom connection. The third Wednesday of the month is the Wisconsin Dark Sky Association meeting, and you can go to starryskiesnorth.org for a link to their meeting. Our program today is sponsored by the most beautiful timekeeper on Earth, twilight. As long as Earth has existed, twilight appears twice each time Earth rotates, giving signals that birds, animals, insects, ocean life, and humans too depend on to know when to sleep, eat, migrate, and more. As light and darkness exchange places in the sky, biological rhythms change too. The gradual transitions of twilight allow us all to change easily between nighttime and daytime brain and body functions. Part of twilight's effect is the magnificent beauty of dawn and sunset. Remember this free gift from nature. Go outside for a while at twilight and take in the special beauty of the sky while your body and mind are getting operating instructions. You are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
The living world of nature has inspired poets for hundreds of years. It seems that this is a good time to talk about poetry in our cool January nights. And since we are all about half of each day that is night, and both Susan and I love poetry and even write some ourselves, We're interested in how night inspires human creativity. There are so many poems, songs, and stories from about the night that are endless. Our human experience condensed in a poem is a good way to get to the very heart of any experience. Maybe one of these poems will inspire you to get to know half of every day that is after sunset.
Today, we have Joanne Adragna Sherd in the studio with us to share some of her poems and talk about what she knows about being inspired to create a poem and how the nighttime affects her inspiration. Welcome, Joanne.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is really something we've been looking forward to. Before we get lost in beautiful poems, tell us about yourself and how you came to love and write poetry. Many listeners may know you, but I suspect many of them are not familiar with your poetry.
Well, it's hard to really narrow it down. I have been writing ever since I was a child, and I came to understand about poetry being such a wonderful way to express yourself because you condense everything into a very small space and area, and you eliminate unnecessary words, and the power of words becomes more powerful in poetry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been writing poetry all my life, really, but for the last probably 25 or 30 years, I've been pretty much writing a poem every day.
Mm. Yeah, that's inspiring just in itself. So I know because you and I have collaborated in the past on the Old Road Project, where you put your poetry and I put my paintings together, and we had a really great time putting together something about the Old Road in the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. So I know that you're very connected to the natural world, the woods and fields, especially around where we both live, the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. So we're interested in how the natural world and the night of the natural world are where you get inspiration and how you get inspired by that.
Well, that's also a little bit difficult to pinpoint.
You can change my question if you want.
I have to admit that night does not hold any more sway over my inspiration than daytime does. I am always, always inspired by the out of doors and nature, and every single aspect of it is a wonder to me, and from the littlest pebble to the moonlight, and I don't know, I feel infused with it all. Mm-hmm. And then I get the urge to put it to paper.
Does anything different happen for you when you're exposed to the night and the land and the sky as far as inspiration goes, or do they both work equally for you?
I would say they both work equally, but there is something about the night that reminds me about the day. I ride my bike quite frequently, and one of the things that I love about bike riding is the way I am enfolded in the air when I'm on the bike. And that's what I feel about the night, that it enfolds me, it blankets me. So
it kind of has a presence?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, without a doubt, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that poetry connects us to our senses?
Yes, I do. And I think it's really unfortunate that most people do not read or appreciate poetry, because I do feel that it has a way of funneling the important into a very small but powerful urge for people.
Awareness?
Yes.
Increasing our sensitivity?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you use that your senses, your sensitivity within your creative process?
Well, maybe you'll understand that more when I read some of my work.
Okay.
It's really hard to... I just feel so much a part of nature, and that nature is so much a part of me that it's just there.
What's the experience like for you when you walk outside at night and look up at the stars?
It's a kind of makes me very little, and it makes me very large.
Yeah.
It just overwhelming and yet underwhelming because I'm a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you read us something and start?
Sure.
Let's start sharing some examples of where you go with this.
This is called The Portal. On rare occasions, in the dark of the night, I have stepped through that mysterious door and found myself loosed, without bounds, mingling among the mist of being, where all is undistinguished, melded together in a deeply essential way. It is the destined place of all things, where rather than the nothingness one might have feared, there is a full and vibrant completeness.
Lovely.
Thank you.
So it seems like that goes right from the stars above you into something really in your core, right, your essential sense of yourself as a human being, would you say?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can read you.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. This one is called Stillness. There are times deep in the night when I have reached the still point, that place within where silence magnifies existence and the denseness of being overwhelms, where the stupor of daily life breaks free of its bonds, and for a moment, I am the sound and the song, and I am nothing at all.
A sense of connectedness, yet you realize the disconnect that we also have. You know, within
right.
that universal
exactly.
experience.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. It feels that your words speak the way people have throughout history who have considered night just a natural part of their lives, and they're familiar with it, and you're very familiar with it. Yet so many people today are afraid. I mean, I talk all the time when I'm out on a night walk with people who have never been out in the dark, literally, which I find astounding.
I do too,
yes. And they are completely unfamiliar and afraid of anything in the dark. It's become quite an amazing shift in our culture anyway. Yet when the night becomes a natural part of our lives, there's a whole world there.
Absolutely, yes.
And poetry is one way to express that. Do you spend much time noticing the dark or walking out in the dark at this point in your life? Do you even think about it? Like, if you have to go get something out of your car, do you even think about stepping outside in the dark?
It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't think about it. I just go out, right? Yeah.
But when I lay in bed, we don't have curtains on any of our windows in our house, and my bed is right next to two windows, and every single night I spend a great deal of time looking out the window. It is astoundingly beautiful to see the trees and the hills backlit by by twilight or by the moonlight. It is one of the most beautiful things I see every day. Mm-hmm. And I do spend a lot of time every night looking out the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think that people really see the night sky as real? You know, it's not tangible. And it, I wonder if poetry helps us to make a connection to it, that poetry in some ways makes what is not tangible tangible. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Again, I'd like to say that I don't feel like very many people read or appreciate poetry, but I do believe that poetry makes an inroad for people to explore things and to come to understand things they might otherwise not. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because poetry can be so descriptive.
Yes. And so descriptive in such a condensed way.
Yes.
Yes. And I think it can be very powerful, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel very much that way. Mm-hmm. Both Susan and I write. Mm-hmm. We're not as prolific, and we're not published like you are. But yes, I find that it is a way for me to express ideas that are kind of rooted internally.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Yes. It's not always easy, but much of the time, it just flows from me. I mean, it's not a labor. It is not labor for me at all.
Yeah.
And I very rarely have to go back and rewrite. And I don't know. It's just because I spend so much time in myself, out of myself, in mm-hmm. nature. And it just seems pretty natural.
Well, that's one of the things that maybe people are searching for now that we're fortunate enough to have. We spend our whole lives living that way, so for us it seems normal.
Right.
But that ability to have those experiences that combine two things, the connection with the world but our connection to ourselves, which is, I think, almost impossible to find unless you are in some way connected to the real living world. That's my mm-hmm. take on it. So the ability to do that is something sharing through poetry can help other people step into that. Do you have another one?
I do have one that sort of addresses that. It's called The Moon. The night outside my window, neither black nor dense, nor all-consuming, has a silver shimmer, magic in its brilliance, as the moon in its cyclic fullness boasts its beauty, laying threads of light across my bed, across myself, and like the warp and weft of some ancient tapestry, I am woven in as well.
Yeah. Now, I have a poet that I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but your poem reminded me of something I happen to have. His name is Tom Hennen. He's an Iowa farmer, and I think he's still alive, I'm not sure, but he's written extensively about the night, mm-hmm. and that kind of connects with a little poem he wrote that I think is illustrative of how these connections can happen. It's called Night Crawls On. Locked by leaf into the shadows, the fragrance of plums moves sure as a road along the bottom of the night.
Mm. That's beautiful. Yeah.
I was struck by that, by how that ephemeral scent he sees as something very almost material,
yes.
as a road is so solid, and he sees how it moves through the night.
Right.
And by putting it in those few words, to me, I have walked on roads at night when that scent comes alive,
right.
and it just strikes you. And there's one point that I think we can look at poetry and other creative endeavors as connecting people to these things they've lost track of, is the lived experience of it. The poetry comes alive, especially when you have something similar you've experienced.
Right.
Then you go, I experience more with that poem.
Yes.
And if you have nothing but your four walls and the computer screen, you kind of don't know what's being talked about, right. But maybe it will put a thread into your life to draw you out and have that experience, because it changes you to stand on a road and smell the plum flowers in the darkness. There is nothing like it.
I have one more that would go along with that. And it's called Awake. I awake in the night, aroused by the summer's breeze. Moonlight shadows the trees outside my window in a faint angelic blue. The leaves, a kind of heirloom lace, delicate in this presentation, appear exquisite now, at the peak of beauty, while I, with reaching eyes, pass into the spaces in between.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like you said, night envelopes you as a presence, and that picks up on that. You are experiencing and living the spaces between the physical leaves and structure. That's harder to do in the daylight.
It is much harder.
Because it's a whole different sensory perception.
Right.
And at night, space becomes different.
That's right.
Yeah.
I agree with you, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it draws our focus. It draws our attention, because it's like everything else, a curtain drops around everything else except the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I have just a short poem that I had written.
Good.
I was walking at night down a path, trying not to fall. I looked up, and there they were, thousands of stars at my call.
Nice.
And I'm reading this because as I was walking, I'm kind of going back into this moment. As I was walking along, I was, trying to concentrate on what was in front of me out of that fear of falling. But then everything else, it all dropped away, as if that black curtain dropped down around the front, what was in back and on the side, and the sky was just illuminated as if there was nothing else there but that sky.
I understand that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's such cool experiences, we have.
Absolutely,
when
yes.
we pay attention to the night. But, kind of what interests me, too, that when I've been reading a lot of poems about the night sky in preparation for our discussion today, but most all poems written about the night use so much metaphor, particularly related to the human experience. And I've wondered whether poets use the night sky to describe that human experience as a means of connecting us.
Well, I guess I really can't answer that. I mean, I haven't read probably the same things that you have, but I do think that poetry does make a movement to connect us to those things. That's what it is about. And certainly somebody writing about the night sky, a poet would be trying to make that connection between the human and the night sky.
Yeah, and using the night sky as a descriptor of our own human experiences.
Right. Yes.
I think it's interesting that in our current times, people are always looking for or creating another reality. Video games or all our computer screen life. We're searching for alien life from other planets. We're always looking for something besides what's our day-to-day reality. And yet we have completely cut ourselves off, for the most part, from half of every day that's the night, which is a whole nother world.
Right.
The world we know changes into something very different, with different qualities and gifts and places to go in it. yet we've forgotten. Well, that's right there. We don't need to go and create all these right. bizarre things that we're searching for. We have a whole nother world right here.
Right. And people are afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. yeah. part of the reason. And
We didn't used to be. Not long ago, right. none of us were afraid of the dark more than the odd right. time.
Right.
And we all thought it was a normal part of our lives. So it's been a quick change. And how we can use tools like poetry to help anyone reconnect with that whole world that we have forgotten about while we're busy chasing after right. something that isn't even real.
Right.
You know, this is real, right. and it has so much to offer that the poetry is also a forgotten doorway.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a forgotten mm-hmm. doorway, yeah. Do you have another poem?
I have one more.
Oh, well.
I have many more, but I have one more. It's called Darkness.
Ooh, good.
What is it we fear about darkness? The deep surround of dense black. Is it truly that we cannot see, that our next step might prove fatal, that we stand defenseless amid all possibilities? How is it we have not come to be comforted by this dark blanket, this veil that renders us one with all?
You know, could you just read that again? I think that's a great poem. As your last poem for a talk, I would like to just read it again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Darkness. What is it we fear about darkness, the deep surround of dense black? Is it truly that we cannot see, that our next step might prove fatal, that we stand defenseless amid all possibilities? How is it we have not come to be comforted by this dark blanket, this veil that renders us one with all?
I think that that's a beautiful concept to kind of go away with. And I just say one more thing about poetry here. One of the reasons people kind of get lost in poetry is they read it through like they read a newspaper. You need to review poems. You need to sit with them and read them more than once to find what's in them. So that's what I encourage everyone to do as we go away from this discussion, is take a poem and just keep playing with it and see what you find. Yeah. So this has been a tiny little touch of where we could go with poetry about the night. So, any last comments, Carol?
Well, I just want to thank Joanne for coming and visiting with us today. It truly has been a delight, but so interesting. I've really enjoyed your perspective, Joanne, and getting to know you and to know your work.
Well, thank you very much, and I deeply appreciate being asked to come here and to bring poetry to the world.
Excellent. Thank you so
much.
And
poetry about the night, specifically.
Yes. Yeah, I always wish I could hear more of your poetry, and there isn't really enough opportunity. So very much thank you for your offerings for us. And that's our program for today, folks.
Well, I'm Carol, and thanks for coming and listening to us today.
And I'm Susan. Remember, turn out the lights, go outside and enjoy the beautiful night.